Hello.
Hello, I'm Alyssa.
I'm May.
And we have a podcast called Crazy in Bed.
Crazy semicolon in bed.
Yeah, this isn't a sex podcast. We mean like we're crazy and we spend a lot of time in bed.
A lot.
Yes, we have new episodes coming out every Monday on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.
Please subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Please.
Please listen.
We need this. This is all we have. We are fragile.
We're fragile, and we could relapse.
Hanging by a thread, I'd say, but there's no thread, really.
No, threads are too strong.
Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, the podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I'm your host, the host with the most, Dan Black, a.k.a. Donnie Kayfabe, a.k.a. Donsky Blackamora, a.k.a. Donnie Capri from the one time I went to the Isle of Capri in Italy, a.k.a. Dan, the modern day goof. Yeah, baby, coming at you like Cleopatra. Gabba, gabba, wee. Yeah. The girl is mine, and man, she's fine. Yeah.
I got to put that on the soundboard.
Oh, yeah. Closing out 17, you know what I mean, baby. Hey, how long till this show is just an intro? With the way it's growing, pretty soon. Hey, everybody, remember... Comment down. Hey, remember this show, give it 5 stars, rate and subscribe on iTunes or whatever you do that. I don't know, on Stitcher or whatever, I don't know, or iFace, whatever
your Hootsuite deck or whatever.
Yeah. And remember, we have the cash-in feature on the show. You can get your opinion on this show. You just leave us a voicemail, and your opinion will cash in on the show. Leave us a voicemail at 316-530-2429-316. Yeah. Hey, everyone. I'm going to try one time. Yeah. Welcome to the most listened to podcast of Cow TV. All right, not great. Hold on, let me get a little inspiration from Jabroniac, an actor, Skylar Astin, sent me his version.
Let's hear it.
First take. Welcome to the most listened to podcast in history. Welcome to Cow TV.
Wow.
One take.
Way smoother.
One take Astin.
I've tried this like 40 times. That was his first take?
Yeah.
Have we all tried it on the show before?
Welcome to the most listened to podcast in Cow TV.
Welcome to the most listened to podcast in history. Welcome to Cow TV.
Welcome to the most listened to. That's hard.
It is.
It's hard.
Not easy. You had to get trained. You have to be a Tony.
Welcome to the most must-see WWE talk show in history. Welcome to Miss TV.
Yeah.
You have to be a Tony Award winning actor to
That's
nail
the
that.
Way you got
to
do it.
First take.
Okay, you know what?
It's very too low.
Yeah. 9:55.
First take.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for giving us that. Hey, everybody. We got a great show for you guys. Our last show in studio. Still going to record a couple episodes, but our last episode in studio before the holiday break. Before we get into this episode, all the hot wrestling action, because, you know, it's kind of a boring time of year, but actually I got a pretty long list of stuff I'd like to address on this show. I want to think about, Nasty Newman, I want to think about 2018 and what that looks like for the Cow podcast.
You get to visualize.
I think we've built a nice, I'm very proud of this podcast. I started this podcast, I think, about 2 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Just in my living room. Ordered a microphone on Amazon, you know. Let me tell you about Jack and I. All right. I don't know how that's relevant. But, the podcast has grown, and it's awesome. And I look forward to doing it every week, and it's great. It's time for this podcast to grow, and it's time. We need your help.
So what you're saying is that it started in the VFW hall of your own home.
Knights of Columbus.
Now it's in NXT, and it's about to get called up to the main roster.
Yeah, and I got all this awesome, exactly. And I have all these awesome visions for my gear I'm going to wear on the main roster.
Yeah, and you're going to find out if you're just NXT over or if you're main
I need
roster.
To frost my tips. I need a new look to be called up. I need to work on my stick skills.
Right.
Gobble wee. And, no, but so We have a lot of things we want to do with this podcast, and we need it to grow. And so it's time to ask for your support. So starting, I've been working behind the scenes on a bunch of things. I know I get hounded a lot. I get hounded a lot by the hounds of merch for merch. And I'm working on all that. So what I'm going to say is that January 1st, we're going to be launching our Patreon page. Okay?
That's right. Cha-ching.
Yeah. Okay, and also January 1st, merch will be available to purchase. Cow merch. I already have designs. I've been working with the top artists.
Phenomenal artists.
Yeah. And we're going to make it all worth your while. It's going to go to support this podcast, okay? And obviously, we're not asking for an exorbitant amount of funds.
No.
And it's going to go to the podcast. So I don't know the exact, the tier structure, whatever. I'm working on all that right now. It'll be live January 1st, but it's more to give you guys a heads up. But here's what, more importantly, what this stuff's going to go to and what you're going to get. So we've been talking about some cool bonus episodes that we want to create for this show with a slightly different format, but we want to keep this show the same. So this show will keep happening. It'll come out every, Thursday morning, whenever Zig decides to drop it. But for whatever a Patreon donation, I don't know what the amount will be, you'll get access to bonus episodes that we're going to be recording. I'll give you a little teaser. We're going to talking about time capsule episodes, talking about some cool interviews with some cool comedians, a lot of stuff. You'll see what's going to happen. We're going to get into all the specific details of it.
And a lot of it for less than a few cents a day.
Yeah. And more importantly is that my vision is something I've teased on this show before that I've been working on behind the scenes that I'm very excited to do, that I want to do right. I want to produce a half hour of stand-up that I'm going to perform of just pro wrestling material.
Is there anybody that does that to this day?
No.
No.
No one. And I want to self-produce it. And we're going to use the funds that come from Patreon and merch to fund it and make it awesome. And then, obviously, whatever Joe Broniacs can make it to the filming of it, that'll be awesome. But, yeah, so you're going to be funding that, which I think is pretty exciting. And exciting because I want to do it right, okay? Plus, we're going to have merch. And, I think it's going to be pretty exciting. There's also some small things that we want to add to the show. I want to get I want to add a live caller technology that Zig's been teasing at me for a while.
We've been trying to get this literally in the studio for like 6 months.
So yeah, so if you enjoy this show, it would mean a lot to me if you could support it. That would be awesome. Now, if you can't do it, if you can't offer any monetary value to this show, I totally understand. The show will still be free. But what I do ask from you is you could support the show by spreading the word. That's the that's the smallest thing that's what I ask of you. That's the cost of this show for anyone who can't buy a shirt or whatever. Is like tell a friend. I think we can spend money on advertising and whatever. But to me, what I think about my life is people when they go, yo, this thing's awesome. That's what I check out, right? If someone I trust says, this movie's great, I do it. So think about it. If you know someone in your life who's a wrestling fan, maybe you haven't talked to them in 5 years, reconnect. Reach across. Every one person listening to this podcast tells someone about it, mathematically, that doubles. Mathematically, that'll double it, okay?
33.3%. Like the Steiner math?
The Shonies? And look, this isn't a scam, guys. No. We're not selling Vitamix or whatever. Yeah. We're not. So that's what I asked. Another thing is that, like, I'll tell you where I see it going for the Jabroniacs. Cause I'm open book here, people. Is ideally we get a nice amount, a nice chunk of patrons, I believe they're called. And we build that. And then I would like to get some kind of – and I've already been speaking to people, you know, to merchandise printers. And we can get it going where we have our own, like, merchandise club going.
Nice.
Where, like, every – we hit certain benchmarks. And then, boom, we print a new cow shirt based on something that we've been talking about. And we can keep it current.
The next thing you know, it's nothing – no more Bullet Club t-shirts at live events. It's cow t-shirts.
Full Jabroniac Nation.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think it's pretty exciting. So this will all drop January 1st. This is just the preview for it. And if you've been enjoying the show, your support would be awesome. More details to come on the structuring of it. Just know, it doesn't really change anything. It's just if you've been liking the show, we would love your support. Okay? Now back to regular programming here.
Yeah.
Fair to say? And I know a bunch of you have been hounding me about that half-hour special. I talked about it. Let's make it happen.
Let's do it.
All right. Anyway, we got a guest on the show today.
We do.
And he's been sitting here silently.
Very quietly.
Very patiently. And it's someone near and dear to my heart, to my left, is my little brother.
Whoa.
And by little, he's way bigger than I am, way more jacked. As a matter of fact...
He's the Kane to your Undertaker.
Yeah, as a matter of fact,
Braun Strowman.
Neil Black. Okay. Neil, in quotations, Butchie Black, because your kayfabe name is Butchie.
That's right.
You've had a kayfabe name. You know what kayfabe means?
I have no idea.
Casual wrestling fan, hardcore biker. Not biker like Baron Corbin.
No, the more manly type where you wear full tight lycra.
Yeah, a cyclist. He's a cyclist. A biker. Calling a cyclist a biker.
Yeah, right.
Love that. Yeah. So Neil Black, what's up?
How's it going? Hey now. Hold on. As your brother, I feel like I am obligated to try this. Gabba-wee.
That's right. You succeeded. You succeeded. So it is right now your 30th birthday as we sit here. Happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Holy motherfucking shit.
how does it feel?
It feels good. Feels really good. I feel strong.
Yeah? Yeah. You feel like the 30-year-old strength?
Yeah. I feel my mind power growing and my muscles diminishing.
Well, that's what happens. No, you get, when you hit 30, you get adult strength. And then the only other next tier of strength that you can reach is if you have a kid. And you have, like, father strength.
Yeah, dad strength.
And that's, like, the pinnacle, the upper echelon of, like, how
that's
strong.
That's, like, lifting the couch with one hand while you do something. Like, I was picturing, like, my dad being, like, the guy is, like, lifting a couch up while, like, watching TV so I could grab something under it.
Exactly. And it, not even breaking a sweat. Just, like, oh, this 200-pound couch over my head. Yeah.
Absolutely. We watched Raw and SmackDown today. Yeah, my brother's up on all this. But, yeah, all right. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So you're interesting because you can enjoy wrestling. You were at WrestleMania 32.
Yeah, I had a great time.
For Bachelor Mania.
Bachelor Mania,
it was my
baby.
Bachelor party.
Oh, best bachelor party I've ever been to. I don't think we'll ever top that.
How many have you been to? That felt like it was going to be a jab where I've only been to one. But then that didn't happen. It was kind of just sincere.
No. I've been to a few. I've been to a few, yeah.
I've been to a bunch of bachelor parties, and WrestleMania... weekend is the best bachelor party. You can still do all the other stuff you do on a bachelor party.
Totally.
It's just then you also have actual plans that are not just
and the whole
sitting
city.
Around in a bar all night.
The whole city is full of jabroniacs. It's fantastic.
Yeah, well, I like to think they're jabroniacs.
Fair enough.
They may just be jabronis.
Might just be jabronis. Yeah. You might just get hit with a jabroni. But so you enjoy wrestling when you watch it, but you're an athlete. You're a Division I soccer player. You're a CrossFit regional athlete. We got to get a shot of your abs. We have to, but we got nothing. Yeah. I like more than
Anosh
looking at my brother's abs.
You have begged me on several occasions to quit my career and try and be a professional wrestler.
Yeah, that is true. I mean it. He's got a look of a dude. Like, first off, he's jacked up. He's yoked. And he's been bigger before. Now he's more lean, you know. But he's got the Rollins build. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say. I used to have the Rollins hair.
Yes, true.
My hair is different now. My hair was down to my shoulders. Oh, I had the man bun.
I mean, you guys couldn't look more dissimilar.
No, because he's good looking. He's actually good. I'm like good looking adjacent.
You're Bobo Samoa Joe.
Yeah, that's right. And he's just good looking. Like Abercrombie, dude.
This is great. I should come here more often.
But your hair was super long. His hair, by the way, he's also, you know, he works as an accountant. He's a professional accountant manager at a big firm. He had hair like down to like not as like what down to like dude, below your chest.
It was like shoulders length. Yeah. It was really long. Like I had hair longer
beautiful
than some
lady
females.
Hair.
As a man who is balding, what's that like?
Yeah. It's pretty magical, you know. Yeah. You know how you imagine like a horse's hair bouncing around. Sure. That was just my daily life,
man.
Yeah. So all right, we'll get a shot. So I'm saying all right. I'm saying a lot of stuff, guys. I'm yoked up on coffee right now.
You get a Starbucks, right? So that's like
yeah. Right now it's like a
long Christmas cup.
I mean, I got myself a hot brew here.
I got a bad cold brew.
Yeah, so, okay. So, Anosh is our, what's Anosh's last name again?
McAdam.
Okay, McAdam. He's our social media guy. We got a social media guy here. And so, he doesn't know shit about wrestling. Mm. You know, I keep talking to him, and it's very over his head.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, he's an Indian Canadian. So, I mean, he, like, the champion was just the Maharaja,
yeah.
who was an Indian Canadian. He should have some sense of it, but that's not how that works at all. But, yeah, so I tell him about what to do social media, and he's always, like, a little off, you know, because he's more of, like, a comedy social media guy. He doesn't know shit about wrestling. So I'm just going to tell him when to, like, hey, this is a good part to do something with for social media. Right now, I want a shot of my brother's abs posted on the social media web. Okay? Can we get that? Zig, can we take a pic of my brother's abs?
Yeah, just send me a pic. I'll forward to Anosh.
All right, great. Thank God. By God. yeah, disaster artist. That's also my kayfabe name. All right, so... Oh, cool. So, all right, let's get into wrestling because there's so much shit and we got to end on time today because we got to go out to your birthday dinner. All right, so let's just talk about this. Let's talk about this Baron Corbin thing.
All right.
Okay. So, like we mentioned, Skylar Astin, actor.
Yeah.
In Picture Perfect, he tweeted at us. He tweeted at me saying, "Hey, I can never hear Baron Corbin's theme song without hearing While My Guitar Gently Weeps," which is a nod to the show. Said thanks, D Block Attack. Right. For those of you who have not heard our mix up, Zig, I hope you fix this.
No, I didn't.
Oh my God! All right.
I mean, that one works too. And
we have three different versions, and it's not like you say which one you want.
I think the podcast is gonna fall apart the day I ask for money. Okay, great. So, so it sounds just like that. So I wrote them back on Twitter that we had an exchange there. And the great thing is that Baron Corbin is now officially in the know that his music syncs up with My Guitar Gently Weeps.
Yeah.
So I can't think of when I was watching SmackDown this week when he comes out. I'm like, is he thinking about it? Did we incept? BC.
Well, you wouldn't know, Alex, right? Since you got blocked by him.
I would know.
That's the next thing I would like to get into.
Motherfucker blocked me on Twitter.
So, okay. That's all right. Forget it. You guys don't want to talk about that part?
No, do we think that he thinks about it? I mean, honestly, no. I don't think he does. I think he's thinking about, he's like, don't fuck up.
I think he's a head case. Yeah. I think he's definitely thinking about
yeah?
it.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, yeah.
I mean, to your point.
That might be true, yeah.
I don't know how conscious it would be. Anyway, point is that, so then Baron Corbin writes me a message on Twitter. I don't know what he said. Something like, let's have Skylar sing for us or something. I don't know what it was. Whatever.
No, didn't he say he was going to Cannibal Corpse?
Yeah, he's going to Cannibal Corpse, which you're wearing a Cannibal Corpse.
They're like one of top five favorite bands.
Right. So then why the fuck are you getting blocked by him? See, that's what I want to say is that, like, how do you help the show by getting blocked by a superstar?
I don't know what I said to get blocked. I went back on Twitter.
We're finally reaching out to a guy. It's on Twitter. Like, 2018 is all about the push, right? We're trying to make the social media push, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, again, the Patreon. We're reaching out, you know? And then you're getting blocked by superstars.
Look,
you represent the show.
Look, okay, first of all, so I went back through Twitter – right. to find what did I say to him?
You guys are both emo idiots. You can't get along?
To get me, I'm a metalhead, and I'm not emo.
Oh, whatever.
Look, I went back, and I looked, and there's two tweets that I can maybe, that I ever tweeted at him, so it's one of these two.
Right.
Okay? The first one was like, I was just like ribbing him because like somebody was like, oh, who's the most unstoppable superstar? And he tweeted something about it, and I was like, oh, you're just mad because it's Braun Strowman and not you. Like, just not even like a troll thing, just kind of like in kayfabe.
Newman, you are a troll.
That's
you
not
hate
trolling.
Trolls, but you are a troll.
That's not trolling.
Okay. Well, my little brother be the judge. And Zig, you guys be the judges. Why are you tweeting at Corbin?
The second thing I said might qualify okay. as trolling.
When was this? A year ago?
No, this was like 7 months ago.
Okay, so 7 months ago, you're sitting around and Baron Corbin does something that upsets you.
No.
And you troll at him.
So the second thing
okay,
was
let's hear
they posted like a poster with him on it, and his hairline is digitally enhanced, like obviously so. And all I said was, "Looks like he got a little graphic hair graft going." That's it. All I just pointed out the fact that his thinning hair in the poster was a full, not unlike your brother, just lion's mane of hair.
Okay,
that's all I did, and he must have blocked me for one of those two things.
Okay, so all right.
Oh, Baron Corbin, known crybaby, blocked me on Twitter.
Okay, but here's my thing. Is that, how are you not a troll?
Because I'm not, okay.
Because, okay, so.
What do you think a troll
is? A troll is a guy who's, like, mad at guys for, like, getting. All right, here's an example of a troll.
Okay.
An example of a troll is someone who's, like, in their basement. Is like being super critical of women because they can't get women.
Okay.
Why does being in the basement matter?
Well, they're always
He's right.
They're always in a basement because that's where Cheetos are. I don't know. That's where their moms, that's what the open room in their mom's house is.
Actually, they move
out of their room. That's what they're like, they're maturing by going to a bigger space.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It has a separate entrance.
So yes. You're contending that because I'm jealous
I'm saying to
of
you,
his.
Is that you? You're a guy who is. Rips on your own hair.
Okay.
Before we started today, you did it.
Yes.
And then you have a problem with a guy who's fixing his hair situation, getting his shit together.
He's not fixing
because
it.
Because you're jealous.
He's not fixing it. He's not going to the fucking hair institute and getting hair plugs. Some digital designer, some graphic designer, some WWE's Anoosh McAdam version put his hair back
on. Don't get me started on Anoosh.
What I'm saying is that, okay, if I was a troll, I would be transgressing against him for transgression's sake. I'm not. All I did was point out that Braun Strowman is a tougher superstar in kayfabe than he is. And then also...
Trolls get blocked by WWE superstars.
Can I interject?
Yes.
Yes. There's Neil Black coming at you.
In the grand scheme of internet trolling, that is really light.
However,
some men are very picky about comments about their hair.
But if you are a WWE
you're a fucking
superstar,
troll.
Let it roll off your back.
It falls under the basic definition of troll. However, it's a light offense.
It's a
misdemeanor.
Okay, yeah. Right.
All right.
I can't imagine how many people he must have blocked if he blocked you for that.
I bet that's a sore spot. I bet that's like his kryptonite.
I mean, his hair is horrible. Let me just say.
Okay, well, he looks like the Crypt Keeper. We've been through this. Okay, but
he looks like Alien Warner.
Hey, Anoosh, you fucking idiot! Oh, sorry, I'm not that close to this guy to call him a fucking idiot, but I am annoyed by a lot of his behavior, and he knows I'm a little annoyed. But Anoosh, I want to see a picture of Baron Corbin's head next to the Crypt Keeper on the new Instagram. What's the Instagram handle? Do we know?
Comedians of Wrestling.
We got the new Instagram handle. I want to see that Crypt Keeper then next to each other. Don't fuck this up, okay?
So to me, a troll is somebody purposely misrepresents their point of view.
He's trolling us right now.
We really hit a sore spot for Newman.
Purposely misrepresents their point of view so as to then bait other people into attacking them to make them look stupid. So if I was like, if I said to Baron Corbin, your hair, hey man, your hair looks like pubic hair and you look like the Crypt Keeper. Very mean. And then he would respond. And then that would be me being disingenuous. And I would like respond disingenuously.
That's
like,
definitely
oh, I'm not.
A more classic troll.
Yeah. All I did was point out that they did a graphic design job on his hair.
Fashion.
And look, but all I want to say is Baron, buddy, look. Take me to a Cannibal Corpse concert. I'm a nice guy. I'm not that bad.
Are you kidding me? He's not going to...
I was fumbling around all over the place.
That's Baron Corbin at the Cannibal Corpse concert. All right. How many times have you been blocked on social media? Be honest.
By...
No, by anyone.
Okay.
By anyone.
Yeah, I think that's a period question. Yeah. How many?
That I know of, including Baron Corbin, yeah. Three.
Okay, that's three more than anyone else in this room.
The other two, I will admit, I did troll them on purpose.
Because they're like Donald Trump or something?
They're like right-wing.
That was
going to
be my
people.
Next question, were they alt-right?
Sebastian Gorka.
Oh.
I literally, recently, I tweeted at him. He tweeted something, and I just responded, "You're a cuck," just to see if he would block me, and he blocked me immediately. And I'm proud of that. That what? Was trolling.
Yeah, okay.
And Bill Mitchell as well.
Okay, he's
another far
guy.
Right guy. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm like a Robin Hood of trolls.
Okay,
I'm like the Dexter of trolls.
Okay. We'll give it to you. You do shoot a lot of shots, though. I'll say, as someone who follows you on Twitter, a lot of my timeline is like, I'll just see an insult and I'll know immediately that it's probably tied to your account.
Hey,
okay. But, do you agree that you getting blocked by superstars who I'd like to get in here
is not a good thing?
Is not a good thing for the
show.
I
agree with that.
And do you think that if he felt sensitive, it did come from you insulting his hair?
Probably.
Yeah.
Maybe you can send him a compliment.
Yeah. I can't now. I'm blocked.
You gotta go back to Burning Man or something and fucking calm down. Okay?
I agree.
I can't have, because I'm gonna bring people in here. 2018, we're gonna get some people in here, and I can't have you them looking up. Hey, you know, and then like, wait, you. So, well, that would be fucking great if Corbin was here and he's like, "Hey, you're the guy I blocked."
He would. Yeah. I have a feeling. I mean, he's like a boxer, right? He would knock my fucking block off if he wanted to.
All right.
I mean, that'd be a great interview.
Yeah.
All right. Hit us up on the Comedians of Wrestling Facebook page, and let's start a poll on there.
Oh, those people,
is Newman a troll?
They're going to be the ones.
I'll start it literally right now.
Yeah, okay. Are you kidding me? Those people are going to decide if I'm a troll or not.
All right, cut the fucking bull.
That's how the internet works.
Those people?
Okay, listen, Bulgogi. All right, Bulgogi. What did Bulgogi mean again?
We were insulting Gabrus, aka Fat Fuck Bulgogi.
Yeah, that Fat Fuck Bulgogi. I guess our trolling of Gabrus didn't work. We'll have to get back.
Yeah,
on
you're
that.
The one who sent our listeners to like insult him on his podcast reviews.
That's because he did us wrong.
Oh, okay.
That was defending the ship.
Different because I do it.
That was defending the ship.
That's what I'm hearing.
Also, he's my friend. It was kayfabe. All right? It was openly kayfabe. All right. Okay. Stop getting blocked by wrestlers.
I'll try my best.
If you get blocked by two more wrestlers, then you have to say on the air, I'm a troll.
All right. Deal.
Okay? And it's going on the soundboard.
All right.
All right. Great. Welcome to the Most Listened To Podcast. Welcome to the Cow TV.
Welcome to the most must-see WWE talk show in history. Welcome to...
It's not even close. See, he did... It was his first take.
First take.
Can we cut out this part?
Welcome to the most must-listen to podcast in history. Welcome to Cow TV.
You can hear the technique in there. You can hear the acting chops.
Yeah, the enunciation.
Like, look at this. Right? You hear it goes... it's like a pacing that's really nice. Anyway, all right.
Didn't you have a whole list of things you wanted to get to?
Yes. Well, let's get this. I got a cash in from my dad. Who wants to hear from my dad?
Obviously.
Always.
I want to hear from my dad.
Hi, Dan. This is your dad, Richard Black, calling from New York. Well, it's time, Sunday, for Dolph Ziggler, your buddy, to step forward at the Clash of Champions. That's right. That's what I said. And by the way, happy birthday to your brother, the Butchie Boy, Neil Black, on his mighty 30th. Here's to you, both of you.
Amazing.
So heartwarming. I love
Dolph,
that.
Dolph Ziggler.
Now, one thing my parents do is they never take the time to learn a proper noun.
Sure.
You know, like, it's not worth their brain. There's people. Yeah. My dad, he goes, "You got to see 3 billboards." Because Frances McDonald, my favorite actress.
I've loved
her since Fargo. Frances McDonald. Yeah, good.
Yeah, my late grandma used to do that. She would call that restaurant Buco de Beppo. She'd call it Buki de Beppi. Unironically, like, I'll be going to Buki de Beppi. It's making shit up.
It's wild behavior. And don't see 3 billboards. It's trash. But anyway. Okay. So, yeah. Where are we going to next? So, there's so many things to talk about. Did you see the Jericho Omega video?
Of course
video?
I did, yeah.
Okay, so, Butch, you didn't see any of this, but, yeah, I mean, how are you feeling about all that?
It's the thing I'm most excited about in wrestling right now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it seems pretty cool.
It feels like a shoot. Well, the reason I like NJPW stuff is because it feels like an actual sport. Like, it feels like when you watch it, it feels like a real fight.
Yeah.
And that also, it feels like there's, like, real heat between them. It just feels more real, and I like it.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely feels more like a real fight. Cursing helps.
Yeah.
I think the thing that everyone popped for the most. Did we didn't get that sound effect added?
No, I couldn't grab it organically. Someone has to send it to me.
Well, you're going to upset the listeners. Okay. No.
Fuckface line?
Yeah, we'll add that. When he says fuckface, the cursing really helps it make feel like a real fight, which I dig. Do you understand the alpha? Is it just because he's older? Like, he's like the first?
I think, he's like posturing like I'm an alpha. I'm like an alpha man.
The Alpha Club?
Yeah.
The Alpha Club shirt is buyable merch, definitely. Yeah. I think it's a cool shirt. I'm on the fence about it. I think I like it. I really love goofy Jericho.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we're not getting any goof.
Right.
We're getting like all serious. I'm going to beat you up, which is like fine. And that's kind of what they do in New Japan, which I dig. But I was like, oh, I would love to see how that translates. Like, how can we get like more of, you can't say any of the list stuff, right? That's like they sell the list. It's clearly WWE like patented line.
Right.
So I guess you can't, like, work around that. But, yeah, I'm pretty excited for that match. Can Jericho work a great New Japan match?
Yeah.
Still?
I think so. I mean, he spent a lot of time in Japan, did he not?
Yeah. No. I just mean at 45 years old.
Yeah.
He's wrestling WWE style.
A lot of those guys. Tanahashi's old. Gato's old. A lot of those guys are old.
Right, but, like, Tanahashi's not doing his best work anymore, right? True. Like, he wrestled Mr. S the last time I saw him.
Yeah.
I'm saying, like, to keep up with Kenny Omega, who's, like, in his prime of wrestling.
Right.
I bet he can, because he's just such a student of it. And yeah. I think it's going to be awesome.
I have a hope.
Yeah.
It's very far-fetched. I don't think it's going to happen. But I hope that this leads to, I hope that NJPW and WWE are more in cahoots than we realize, and I hope that whoever wins, Jericho makes his re-debut in WWE, and that Omega follows him back to WWE to finish the feud.
That would be amazing. I doubt that's where this
is
going.
I know, but that's what I hope happens.
But I read that Vince was cool with, he signed off on Jericho. I mean, not signed off. He didn't have to. He's not under contract, but he gave it the okay.
Right.
Not that he has any choice. He probably just like, I don't have a choice. What do I gain by having Jericho mad at me or going against my wishes?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like kind of like, not to compare Vince to Trump, though it's apt. Is like, you know, I mean, he supports him big time. Yeah. His wife's in his cabinet, but it's like similar to like when, you know, Roy Moore lost and Trump's just like, yeah, like, I knew he was gonna lose.
And, right, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like it puts you in the thing where it's like, oh, you know, and the guy supported the other guy, and then you congratulate Doug Jones. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's posturing there. I was reading the article, Mark Cuban, because I guess he owns Access TV, or he's somehow involved, and it was in the Sports Illustrated article, and he was talking about how, their New Japan numbers are going up and up, and they're like, you know, they're gonna air Wrestle Kingdom main event live, and like Vince doesn't see them as a threat, and that's kind of something he sees as like a really cool element of it. And he's like, I'm not a wrestling fan, but like it's the talent is amazing at this, so it's interesting. I mean, I think he kind of like was alluding to, he has a vision of them actually being a big factor here.
Yeah, I mean, they might be able to.
I mean, they need to be on television,
right?
That, yeah, yeah, cool. I think it's tough to sell to people the element of, like, it being a, like, New Japan, what's cool about it is it maps to, like, real sport.
Right.
Like, they treat it like it's a real fight, and people who know wrestling enough know that wrestling really is a real fight when you wrestle at that level.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, even though it's choreographed or whatever, like, they're taking so much damage at that level. The ending is scripted, but they're basically beating the shit out of each other in a scripted way.
Yeah, yeah. There was that one thing. It was like, I think it was, what's his name? Ibushi and somebody else, where they're just like, maybe it was, I forget his name. They're just literally slapping each other in the face as hard as they
can.
Like, you can't fake that.
Like, the appeal of New Japan is like, hey, these guys, it's cool that these guys aren't going to die.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like they're going to die, but they're not going to. Right. And it's not about not taking damage. It's about not dying.
Right.
It's like pushing. It's the art of not getting injured while looking like you're getting injured in a way that, like, WWE is like, hey, we're not as much about that.
Right. Yeah.
Even though, obviously, that's part of all of wrestling. Anyway, so, yeah, that's cool. The Abu Dhabi match.
Yeah.
Okay, Butch, we're going into stuff that you didn't watch. And then before we get into Raw and SmackDown quick. But okay, so the first women's match in WWE happened in Abu Dhabi. Something I read was that, like, in 2010, TNA had a women's tag match in Abu Dhabi.
Oh, no shit.
And it wasn't even true.
Huh. Wait, what wasn't true?
That it, like, WWE was saying it was the first time women wrestled over there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not true.
Yeah, of course they lied. If they, I mean, it makes sense to me that they would just make that up.
Yeah, I don't even know. I messaged you about this, and I don't know where the, I don't know. I'm confused about Abu Dhabi, because
Women don't have a lot of rights there.
Yeah. To me, I'm always like, hey, well, why, like I'm kind of like, yo, this place seems like it's not a good place.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is offensive or not. I know that, like, to be honest, from a perspective as, like, a Jewish person, that's a place all you hear about in Abu Dhabi is that, like, I'm not allowed to go.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's all I know about it is that, like, I can't go there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm, like, actually won't be allowed in if you know?
Right.
So,
I mean, like I said to you, it indicates to me, like, the whole them going to United Arab Emirates and to India, it either means one of two things. One, they're doing very well and they're just trying to break into new markets, or they're desperate and they're not doing that good and they're trying to get to these, like, kind of other markets to exploit them, and these markets are, like, kind of shitty, like,
right,
not great countries or societies or cultures that are.
I'm openly admitting that I'm not, like, I'm just a wrestling mark.
Yeah,
you know, I just love wrestling. I love the art of wrestling. I think it's dope. I love all the costumes and shit. You know, I'm a mark. But there's something about this thing where it's like, oh, we're breaking history over there, and we're like, hey. Like, when I'm just like, hey, don't go there if they don't let your wrestlers wrestle.
Right, yeah,
Or something like, I don't know, I have this, like, stance. But then I see, like, that there's the people at the bottom, like, essentially, right, where there's no middle class in these places, like we were talking about. And what were you saying, Butch?
Well,
the people, I'm saying, the lower class people, like, there's little girls there who are inspired by it. I understand that.
Right.
But it's just, like, this thing where the reason they wrestle there is not because of that. They go there because of oil money, right? Like, it's the Emirates. It's the same reason MMA is there. Like, UFC is bought by the Abu Dhabi, owns, like, a 10% share of the United Arab Emirates.
Well, it's also about building the brand. You know, also, a lot of sports have been doing that in recent years. I know, not to go into cycling, but, you know, cycling does,
they do
races there. A lot of other, you know, Formula One does races there now, stuff like that.
Right.
So it's about expanding the brand. And all businesses.
I guess something turned me off was something that always turns me off is Sasha Banks crying. It's like I've said it on this podcast. I feel like a broken record where it's like, that's not, I don't know if that should be as emotional of a thing as it is.
Yeah,
I think
it's cool. You're right, Dan. She's an over emotional woman. You're totally right.
I understand what it
you're
sounds
totally
like.
Totally right.
Look.
I agree with you.
Do I sound like an asshole or not?
I agree with you. No, I'm just fucking around. But, like,
I would like to get shit.
She does cry a lot.
It's showmanship. It's not about crying. Forget the crying.
Okay.
Forget the physical act of crying.
Okay.
Because that feels gender-based. Yeah. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being super emotional and seeing moments that are big moments that are not necessarily... you can't have that many milestones.
Sure.
You can't have a milestone every 4 months. Like, it's time to be, like, you're, like, the legit boss. Like, right. you know what I mean?
Like, I belong here. This is, you know, this is awesome, but I'm not going to lose my shit over it because, obviously, I belong here.
Yeah. Or maybe I think the attitude is like, yo, it's bullshit they made me cover up.
Right.
Like, next time I'm coming here, I'm wearing my gear.
Yeah.
Or something. Oh, God, that even feels culturally insensitive. Is it?
Well, no, I mean, it's a whole other geopolitical thing.
I don't know. This,
like,
is too deep.
Well, it is because, I mean,
but I
did
feel weird. I felt conflicted. Yeah. And a Sports Illustrated article I read felt conflicted also. I know I wasn't alone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, because there's some factions, not wrestling factions, but some political factions think that they don't view the way that women are subjugated there as subjugation. Like, if they want to, covering up, being modest is, like, part of that culture. Other ones think that they're being oppressed because they're not actually given the choice to not cover up if they don't want to. I am on that side. I don't think forced modesty is a thing that should exist in this century, but
That's what I have a hard time with.
Yeah,
is that, and it's like
if you want to cover up, cover up.
And also, that's part of your culture. I think there's just a thing where it's,
but they can't drive.
It's like you're gonna mess with what our show does, like what we do. But I know that's even kind of, I understand. Like, hey, you're sensitive to the culture of where you are. There's just a thing. There's something gross going on.
Yeah.
That's all I gotta say. Something is not kosher here.
Unseemly. Literally not kosher.
Forget that. Forget the insinuation there. Forget the. I'm not religious at all. I'm saying, like, forget. Something was too kayfabe. Something was kayfabe amiss.
Sure.
And I felt weird about it. Yeah. It's anyway. Okay. Moving on. I would love to hear your guys' thoughts on this stuff, and I would love to be shot down. This is something. Yeah. Because okay. So let's move on. Let's move on to Raw this week, and then we'll quickly go to Raw, SmackDown, and then we'll hit the Clash of Champions. Joe opened Raw, right?
Yeah.
So that was big for him. This is kind of a I'm not saying like he's not someone open Raw, but he got like a, I don't know, felt like a 10-minute himself in the ring segment with the mic.
Yeah, yeah.
Butch, you watched it. You made some comments on that.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I like Samoa Joe. I think he's good on the mic. I think he's got the look. I think he's got the moves in the ring. I'm a fan.
I'm surprised you had no beef with his physique.
Yeah. That is true. Based on my normal critique of wrestlers, I'm very critical on wrestlers who are not in good shape.
Got it.
Unless
Kevin Owens bothers you.
Kevin Owens bothers me, but it bothers me because he's so good in every other aspect.
Right.
And you see a lack of discipline, I think.
Right.
Because you're a man who's mega disciplined.
I'm all about discipline. Yeah.
And I think you see that, and you see it as like, hey, it's time to be big time.
Yeah, what I was saying about Kevin Owens before, we were talking, and like, I feel like Kevin Owens is like that guy, that friend in high school who was like athletic but also chubby, you know? And you're like, oh, this guy's going to run into problems later in life. You know? It feels like a waste, you know?
Yeah.
He could be so much better.
Well, like Joe, like he has like a different big guy physique.
Totally different. Like, it fits his persona.
Right. And I think he's more evenly distributed weight-wise, whereas, like, Kevin Owens, like, has, like, a gut.
Yeah.
Right. So I think I get it.
Like, you're so surprised funny when Kevin Owens is, like, moving around. Like, same thing with Samoa Joe, but, like, Samoa Joe, like, it's his persona. Like, Kevin Owens, I don't hear that name and, like, think of a fat, chubby guy with a cut-off T-shirt. Yeah, Samoa Joe, you think of that.
You do get a lot of leeway being Samoan. And being
totally
a big guy.
Well, and not even to talk about just like, oh, Samoans, you have a stereotypical vision of them, but the Samoan moveset lends itself to like that kind of, right? Like the Samoan drop is like for a big guy. The funny thing is that Kevin Owens' stomach is like my favorite. because he does, one of his moves is called a cannonball. It's one of my favorite things he does. And he looks like a human cannonball.
He does.
It's such an interesting way to put on weight, the stomach.
Because
not a lot of people can pull that off.
Yeah.
Not pull it off. I mean, physically do that. Like, not a lot of, I don't put on weight like that, like in my belly. You know people who put on belly weight?
Yeah, he's built like, remember Tank Abbott?
Yeah,
the
UFC fighter.
Yeah, he's built exactly like him.
Yeah, you're like, you could, there's guys, you know, people are like perfectly, they're jacked guys. They just have a pregnant belly.
Yeah. Like me,
you don't have that.
I'm jacked and I have a little belly.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant this belly. I was focusing just on the belly. Yeah, of course, you're jacked. This is audio form. Everyone looks great. remember the medium, okay? The only one doesn't like is that fucking stoolie Anosh. Anyway.
Does anyone want live updates on the poll for New?
Oh, yeah, please.
All right, so.
Something. Wow. Yeah.
Look at this.
All right, so we have 5 yeses that you're a troll and 1 no that you're not a troll.
You motherfuckers.
Yeah, well,
no,
you.
This is what I expect. This is what I expect from you people. You non-comedian tryhards. That's what you are.
Okay. Listen, leave them alone. We got to move on because we got to get to Neil Black's birthday dinner. Okay. Okay, so I forgot about the soundboard today. Okay, hold on. Let's try it out.
You're listening to the Comedian of the Podcast.
Okay.
It's a better title.
So here's my thing with Samoa Joe. I think he's very proficient on the microphone.
Yeah.
He came out. I dig his look. I'm not arling about any of that stuff. And I think part of it's the time of year, but there's something about him that's like kind of boring when there's something about it that's kind of boring when he's just a promo guy. Mm-hmm. But the times I'm interested in Joe is when his sneak attack Joe.
Yeah, yeah.
Is like the Joe I like. Mm-hmm. And he's a little like just like. Actually, this is an Arlen line. 80, you call him 80s tough guy.
Right.
Like, there's a little bit of just like, I'm going to beat you up. I'm good. You're not good. Right. And you're like, what are you saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it's 10 minutes. You can't be specific. Like, why not talk about your TNA days or talk about how your style makes you more unique or, you know, like, something more specific.
Yeah.
The specificity of Matt Hart, the Broken Hardy gimmick, the gimmicks, look, I've said this, in improv scenes, some of the biggest laughs that happen in improv is when you just say your full name of your fake character.
Right.
When you just go like, hey, nice to meet you. I'm Walter Jacobs. People just laugh because they're like, wow, that's a specific name you chose for your fake self. Mm-hmm. And there's a specificity lacking from Joe always.
Yeah. I would say kind of, and it might be kind of what you're saying, like the one thing I would kind of tone down with him on the mic is his sort of like Muhammad Ali-ish delivery. Where he's sort of like, always up here about this thing. Instead of just being like a very intense, tough guy, there's sort of like, it's like too performative. I would dial that back a little bit.
Yeah.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that either. I agree with you. There is something.
Well, it's not there. Just write something. Like, just give him something to be mad about.
Right.
That's all. Like, just give it, right? It's more theater.
Well, because a couple weeks ago on Raw, they did have something really good where it's like he was pissed off that Jason Jordan kept getting all these opportunities.
Yeah.
And he's like, I work my ass off, and all you're doing is being his son. And it had just that little bit was enough.
Right, so just keep that.
Yeah.
I already forgot about that. Yeah. I'm saying come out and just be like, what are you slighted about? This is what Jason Jordan is working so well.
Yeah.
He has like a storyline. He has a full-on, like, he has a full-on dramatic storyline going on. And, when he shows up on screen, I'm like, yo, I gotta watch this. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about the next show, how I watch. We didn't get into that, the semantics of how I watch.
Oh, but, yeah.
When I have crazy busy weeks. All right, moving on. Booker T said Booker T on the mic, I find his patterns when he's announcing. One thing he does is just like somebody says something and he'll just go like, I don't like that. You know, he's like, it's like just like I'm going to negate whatever you say because he's playing the bad cop or whatever.
Yeah.
But like one thing happens during the Rollins match. Rollins does something and they're like, that was great. And he goes, I'm not a fan of the CrossFit training.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they start talking about CrossFit.
Yeah. And he's like, I think it works for Rollins.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you think that was real? Like, do you think he actually is not a fan of CrossFit for wrestlers? Or was it just to be negative?
Who says that comment as a joke?
Yeah.
He must have meant it, right?
Yeah.
Why are all like old timer wrestlers, why are they so mad if you change at all? That is such a bad way to be. And it's like, all right, so somebody's doing something new.
Yeah.
Look into it. Like, why is it just like a meat? It feels like all these guys just shut down everything. They just go like, no, I don't like that, and shit in your bag.
Yeah. Yeah. Pop a gas station dick pill and a Soma and go fucking work out.
They'll make fun of Rollins for, you know, being in good shape, but, you know, that belly on Kevin Owens.
Yeah, he's a contender. Oh, shuck it, ducky.
Yeah. That's a great observation from a guy who doesn't watch that much. Like, they do the. Why they would never. They comment on Rollins' conditioning? Yeah. The dude's in perfect shape.
Yeah, really.
I've watched him do CrossFit. Like, he's a great athlete.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still don't understand what he meant with that credit card thing. All right. That's a callback. I cannot find any of my sound drops. All right, we have to reorganize this. I guess I'll just give you this, because why not?
Guys, let's put this in perspective. These are huge men.
All right, so...
Huge in what way?
Intellectually.
Huge hearts.
Who wants to walk with Elias?
All right, that one is no comedy. It's just, yeah. I just wanted that. Okay, so, all right, Broken Matt Hardy. Or Woken. I was looking for the Hardy laugh. I don't know what happened.
My girlfriend was I had it on, and she was milling about the apartment, and she like heard this like promo happening, and she's semi familiar with wrestling.
Yeah,
and she just goes, "What the fuck is going on?"
Yeah,
and totally. I was like, "It's a whole thing. Wrestling is crazy right now, but in a good way."
Genghis Khan.
Yeah, but she just heard, and I was like, "Oh man, like imagine." And I would love to hear your thoughts on this. because, like, imagine being somebody who doesn't really watch and hearing, like, oh! Well, insanity.
Okay, I want to make a few points, and then we're going to get to Neil. First thing I'll say is I showed last week's promo, Hardy promo, to my wife, because I was like, this is so funny. She has to like this. Did not like it.
When are you going to learn?
Did not like it. The only thing she likes is Gobblewee.
Yeah.
Okay? She likes the podcast. She can listen to the podcast.
Okay.
All right. So that's a step. But Broken Matt. Okay. I thought last week was cool. I don't know why they just repeated the same thing again this week.
Yeah.
And also, Matt Hardy was off this week.
A little bit.
The performance was off. It was a little just goofy.
Yeah.
And not broken.
It was really expository, too, right? They were trying to get the whole lore of, like, he knows who Sister Abigail is.
Right.
Like, he's known her forever, and, like, they were supposed to get married in Babylon, but then she got seduced by the dark side and left. So that he was, like, really piling on the story.
Well, also the timing. That's true. I didn't even follow that. I was just, like, focusing on the performance.
I was taking notes.
Yeah. Well, you did a good job. I remember Babylon or whatever.
I'm shocked by the continuity of that.
It worked great last week, and then they added that, like, glass shattering, which had woken.
Every time?
Jesus. It ruined the timing.
Yeah.
It was like a full 2-second delay before it cut back. And last time was like, shh, and then you saw him.
He was interrupting the feed.
Yeah.
He hacked the mainframe.
Yeah, so anyway, it's fine. Broken Man Hardy's going to be fine. It's going to work.
Right.
It's going to be fine. It's fucking great.
Yeah.
Butch, what do you think?
Well, first off, I do have context because you did show me the original, like,
final deletion.
Yeah, whatever that's called, the deletion thing. You're like, you have to see this, bro. And I watched it, and it was very funny.
I said it like that.
I really liked it. I really liked it. This was just so crazy. Like, I'm with your girlfriend on this. Like, it was just fucking crazy.
Yeah.
It was just nuts. And, like, what is with that blue tarp behind Mount Hardy? You know, it looks like he's, like, a homeless guy in the street just, like, chiming in, you know?
Yeah.
He looks and acts like he's, like, Tommy Wiseau of wrestling. That's the comment I was saying. He literally laughed. Yeah, he literally laughs like him. He's like,
ha, 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 ha. Oh, hi, Bray.
Yeah.
Oh, hi, Bray. Oh, hi, Sister Abigail.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, hi, Mark.
It's unbelievable. But I know, so this, whatever this cut is, whatever you call it, it was not good. It was hard to follow. But that being said, I have context, and it's a great gimmick. I like it. It has potential. They didn't hit home on this one.
Yeah.
And get rid of that stupid tarp.
Well, he's in front of like a 1981 NWA.
And then Bray is like so good.
Bray is lit perfectly in like a perfect. The studio looks amazing.
Promo dungeon.
Yeah. The promo and Broken Matt Hardy, who like this is the gimmick we've been waiting for.
Yeah, get him like a throne. Put him on like a cool throne or something.
Have
right?
him at his like home.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, have him on his, like, his property.
I think he is at his home.
Right, yeah.
That's why he has the tarp.
That's his shower curtain.
It looks like my shitty audition tapes I send him. Where I'm like, and the performance is just as good. All right, yeah, anyway.
Try harder, okay. Hardy.
Yeah. Absolution, I thought, worked really well this week.
Yeah.
They're really going all in on the Paige thing, which I think is great. It's like, have her be a real threat. And she's really doing the thing I always wanted from Bray, where she's like, a cancer, if you will.
Yeah.
I definitely have breast cancer. she's just like popping up, and it's like her and her crew.
Yeah.
I don't know why they're called Absolution. I don't know what the costume is. Whatever.
Yeah.
I think that Paige shirt is kind of cool.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think they're gonna have her beat Asuka.
Yeah, well, it's good. They should because Asuka. You
can't keep going.
You don't want her to have the undefeated thing forever.
Yeah.
But Asuka was cool. I love how she did the thing that I always think is goofy, where you are being attacked by three people and then you choose to go into a submission hold.
Yeah. How
is that going to do anything?
Yeah.
You're clearly going to get stomped.
Yeah.
I think you should stick, especially when you're announced as the best striker.
Right.
You should maybe just stick with the striking.
Yeah.
But I think that all works. I have the same comments on Paige where it's like, especially. Especially juxtaposed with, if we're comparing her to Samoa Joe, like Paige, you know who she is.
Right.
Joe, I mean, I'm not saying you don't know who he is, but you know Paige's deal. Like, she's slighted because, you know, she's came back and she's like, I was here first. And
right.
It's just, you get it. It makes more sense.
Yeah. I'd love that lady's schmaz at the end, though.
Yeah.
Like the all the women coming out and like to like help.
It was just like everyone teaming up on Absolution. That's what I'm saying. Like Absolution is the maximum carnage.
Yeah.
Guys, that's a reference we're always going to use on this show for when there's something so evil that everyone, even good, even enemies, have to team up to fight it. Not Independence Day. It's Maximum Carnage, a storyline from Spider-Man that not that many people know of
it's
anymore.
It's like there's Spider-Man, and then there's the Venom storyline, and then there's the Maximum Carnage.
It's when Carnage shows up, and Eddie Brock and Peter Parker have to fight against him because he's painting the city red. All right? Now look it up. If you don't know, I'm not explaining this reference anymore to you guys.
It's a great storyline.
It applied to Survivor Series, and now it applies to Absolution. All right. So that's all I'm going to say on Raw. What do you think?
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to SmackDown. SmackDown. Oh, the Yep movement.
Yeah.
Okay. What do we think? I thought you were going to love it.
I think it's funny. I think it's funny.
I liked it, but I don't think it was funny.
Yeah.
I think that conceptually it was funny. Yeah. I don't think it hit that hard.
That's what I mean. Conceptually, I think it's a funny idea, but the crowd was like, nope.
I think it's because it doesn't totally make sense.
Right.
Right? Like,
it should be like the A movement, right? Because they're Canadian?
Yeah, maybe.
Something?
Also, it's like, they tried to like half-ass do the Occupy thing, but without like a bunch of people.
Right.
And that's not really a relevant reference anymore. And also, what are they saying? Like, yes was literally like, you say no to me, I say yes.
Yeah.
What's yep?
I don't know. You say yes, I say yep.
What are they saying yep to? Like, they're heels, right?
Yeah.
It's because, like, they're not booking them and stuff?
Maybe, I don't know. I'm
a little
muddled.
I don't
get it, yeah.
I'm a little muddled. I like the shirt, and I think it can work. And I think their timing was cool, and I'm loving Sami Zayn right now, I gotta say. Especially when he came out of his first heel thing. I love he's finding his real, like, asshole. Like, he really is like a ska band, like the guy who, like, doesn't play an instrument.
Yeah.
Like, the hype guy.
Yeah.
Feels like, right?
Yeah, from Mighty Boston.
Yeah.
Just that guy.
He's the guy who's, like, he's peripherally hanging out with cool guys, he's not the cool guy.
I had seen something online where it was, like, the way he's behaving, like, when he comes out is, like, your friend, like, if you go to, like, a club and, like, he promises he didn't do any coke, but then he's, like, jumping around all, like, hyper. He seems like he's on cocaine, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. No, he feels like a bad guy. Like, it's working.
Yeah.
Okay, so the thing I'm really liking is Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan has this really cool storyline going that is kind of like, it's not that clear.
Right.
And maybe I didn't watch close enough, but like, he's on commentary and he's like, hey, I want to make these guys work. I've been working with these guys on the road for like 15 years. Like, they're so talented and like, hey, like, I understand why they're like lashing out. They slept on floors. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he has like a real compassion for the indie plight.
Yes.
Which is like very cool. I'm not sure how clear that is to the viewer. Did you feel like it's clear? Maybe it is.
It felt like he was sort of kind of hinting at something else.
Right.
Like there was some ulterior motive there.
Because he had a really cool thing where he was like, hey, Shinsuke's gouged my eyes before.
Yeah.
You know, you think he's a good guy.
Yeah.
But like these guys are all, right?
He said something like that. And then the other announcers like kept harping on the idea that he was like not being genuine with them, and that he was trying to screw over Nakamura and Orton.
Yeah, maybe Daniel Bryan will join them.
That's, I mean, we Ring of Honor faction.
Yeah, I mean, that would be awesome. Yeah. And I think it was like, I think like the idea of like having understanding where these guys are coming from as like they're slighted and they're, it's almost like the good teacher who's not like, hey, he's misunderstood. Like, I see something in him, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool. It's
a little subtle for the average viewer.
I think I followed it.
Well, yeah, but you're not.
Okay. I didn't know.
Your brainstem is functioning. I'm talking about the average WWE viewer.
I really liked that whole angle they were doing.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I thought it was great.
I liked when I was the ref, but like without, I think Shane's not there, and Shane's not selling his part.
Yeah,
which is what's making it fall flat. Like Shane's not coming out and acting like. And it's also tough because they're both like baby faces. Shane's trying to play like the bad guy role, but he really thrives in the good guy role.
Yeah.
Like, and so he's here kind of just be like, hey, we get rid of these guys because they're bad guys, and like that's it. And he's like, no, give me a chance with them. Mm-hmm. Where does that lead? That could be really cool.
Well, didn't he get? Wasn't there some development with his ability to wrestle, Daniel Bryan?
Yes. Yeah, so Daniel Bryan's been approved by, like, two doctors outside of WWE,
yeah.
And the WWE doctors are, like, looking at it.
Yeah.
He's going to wrestle again. There's no question.
Yeah.
He's going to. The question is, do we want that? I
think there's a way to do it and protect him. You know what I mean? Like, overpower him, like, so that he's not, like, I mean, like, don't, not overpower him, but, like, make him so powerful that he's just, like, one kick knocks people out, one punch knocks people out, so he's not really putting himself in danger.
Yeah.
I think it could work.
All right, cool. Let's just talk about these last things, then we got to go to Neil's birthday dinner. Nia and Enzo.
Yeah.
I didn't see any of this.
So it happened 2 weeks ago, too, where she's like, he's doing a promo with like Gulak backstage, and then Nia just comes up, and she's like, how you doing? And is like flirting with him. And so it seems like they're building like a romantic angle, but I don't know if it's going to be a straight like... they're in love with each other thing.
Right.
It feels like she's fucking with him a little bit. And, yeah, I like it. I think it's great. I want to see more of it. But there's something else.
Everyone thinks he's really dope. I got to check it out. I was watching on Hulu because my brother's in town. I guess it was cut from it. I never watch on Hulu.
Yeah.
And that's exactly why. Because let me tell you something about Hulu. I'm going to shoot on Hulu for a second. What a garbage app.
Yeah.
I mean, they completely...
trash.
Well, I don't know what they did. They have the best show on TV, you know, and then somehow one day it was working. It was just exactly Netflix, which is the best way to lay out an app.
Right.
And you're like, and then one day they changed it, and then I was like, all right, they'll fix it. It just whatever, they rolled it out, and they never fixed it.
Yeah. What's different?
They made it very visually appealing.
You can't find
but it's
anything.
It's not very functional in terms of navigating. It's not intuitive.
The interface is garbage. I mean, it looks like an Instagram filter, so it's pretty, but like navigating shit is impossible.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And for some reason, every time I click on an episode, it's like Raw from 3 weeks ago.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Like it immediately plays something, and then you can't get back to like, oh, how do I choose an episode?
Right.
And it breaks Raw up into seasons.
Yeah.
You're like, what?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like 2014, season 25 or whatever.
You should
like,
be so lucky.
Yeah. What is this? Oh, that would be amazing.
Did you hear, before we get going, the mixed match
challenge?
Yeah,
tell me about this.
So I've been just reading about it a little bit. Apparently it's going to be on Facebook, or at least Facebook's going to be the one that's like running it.
It's WWE?
Yeah, and it's going to be 12-episode series, 20 minutes each episode, filmed after SmackDown. The premise is that male and female superstars are going to do intergender tag matches. And some of the tag teams that have been teased are Braun and Nia. Or Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss are sort of like fighting over who's going to team up with Braun. Finn Balor and Bayley, Goldust and Sasha Banks, Charlotte and Bobby Roode have all kind of been on social media plugging this thing as like potential. And then whoever wins, it's going to like be like a tournament. And whoever wins, $100,000 goes to like a charity that they've picked.
Oh, sounds cool.
Yeah.
All right. Look, we got to end today. We got to end now because we got to get to this birthday reservation for my brother.
P.F. Chang's.
At P.F. Chang's. So
the
next 2 weeks, we're going to record. An episode will happen, but we might have to record it dirty. This is our last episode in studio, and look, 2018 is going to be pretty exciting. All the stuff that I was talking about, we're going to get the Patreon going, and we're going to use that money to further this experience of the show. And I know a lot of you love the show, so if you want to support it, you want to make it better, it'd be really dope if you could be part of it. And we're going to make it worth your while. We're going to give you bonus episodes, and I'm going to be working on that half hour, and hopefully I'll make a bunch of them. I think it'll be really cool. T-shirts. T-shirts will also be ready. Merch will be ready January 1st. That'll all be going. So, you know, we're missing the holiday season, but the holiday season means nothing to the Jabroniacs.
That's right.
It's all about Road to Mania.
Yep.
All this will be up and going for Mania. So I know we got our Philly listeners. Hopefully we'll have some merch on you. So
Aaron,
you can go to the Rumble.
Yep, and take over.
Yeah. But, hey, Butch, thanks for coming in.
Gabooey.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. And also follow our new Instagram. We're going to be hitting that Instagram pretty hard.
Comedians of Wrestling.
At Comedians of Wrestling. And hopefully Anosh doesn't fuck it up. I'm going to have to talk to him. Hey, keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.